KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies. It's 42 degrees. We look for it to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a chance of scattered afternoon showers and a high around 64. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In local news, the Atlantic City Council Wednesday evening passed by a vote of 6-1 a resolution to require employees and visitors to city buildings to wear face masks. Mayor Dave Jones explained the resolution does not apply to the whole city of Atlantic.
We can't do anything with the governor. We got to follow the governor guidelines anyway. We couldn't make everybody in the city wear masks anyway, which I think they probably should, but that's beside the point.
Councilperson Kathy Summers was the lone no vote.
If we thought it, you know, imagined a scenario where somebody really refused to wear it, I guess you might not terminate them right away. You might give them a written warning or something like that to put in their personnel file. And then, so then say they refused to wear the mask, but they did come down with COVID-19. And like the whole street department, say you'd have to have like 3 people in the street department or something that all got it in order to kind of even prove that it came from work and not from personal life. And so say they did that, no matter what you've done, have face masks, not have face masks, require them, not require them, he violates the law, I mean the policy, it's not gonna matter. You're still gonna pay the work comp claim if that's the way it works out. So I don't see an advantage in any way, shape, or form to pressing the issue with people that don't want to do it. If they want to wear it, obviously they can.
The resolution is designed to further help prevent the spread of COVID-19, especially among essential city personnel and those who are in frequent close contact with the public. Since there is no state mandate for everyone, including local government employees, to wear face masks, it is highly recommended, though, by local, state, and national health officials. Some city employees have voiced their opposition to such a requirement. Councilperson Summer said,
"The reality is they're a pain to wear. People with glasses get fogged over, so they can't see, so they have to take it off. And people who have health risks are going to be trying to do whatever they can to protect themselves."
And she also raised the question about whether or not an employee could be fired for refusing to wear a face mask. City Administrator John Lund said if employees choose not to wear a mask, the city is not protected.
Even if this is policy and employees choose not to wear it, the city's not protected. They can still file work comp. So to me, that does indicate that Kathy's probably right, that we, depending on how serious we want to make this, we could review this as personnel policy, but that's not what's on the agenda right now.
Blunt said the resolution that was ultimately approved Wednesday evening doesn't address any punishment or other similar policies. Councilman Pat McCurdy said he thinks city employees should wear a mask, but he would not fire someone for not wearing one. The resolution applies to the interior of city-owned buildings only and does not apply to private property, both business and residential, city parks, trails, or other city-owned grounds. It also does not result in a citation or penalty for failure to wear a mask. It would remain in effect only if the city council feels it's necessary to protect employees and the public, and the policy is not intended to continue indefinitely. Mayor Jones said the city is expecting to receive enough masks for employees within 2 to 3 weeks. In other business, the council set May 20th as the date for a public hearing to amend the fiscal year 2020 budget and the second reading of an ordinance prohibiting parking on the north side of East 12th Street as recommended by the Community Protection Committee. The council had passed the first reading on April 15th. The Atlantic City Council also agreed to address drainage issues at the Atlantic Golf and Country Club by having a subsurface drainage tile installed at a cost of just over $49,000, and they approved a bid from Chris Hewton Earth Moving for $21,520 to address the Country Oak Miller Stormwater Detention Basin project. Snyder and Associates engineer Dave Sturm said Hewton's bid included seating, which city employees could handle, and a change order is expected to be approved during the council's next meeting, which would drop that price to around $15,000. City Administrator John Lund said the fiscal year 2020 budget has money in the reserves for such stormwater projects. And finally, the council approved of reappointing Lloyd Munson to the Board of Adjustment, the reappointment of Doug Bierbaum to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and the appointment of Rich Tupper to the P&Z. Police in Creston report 46-year-old Sandra J. Kohler of Fontenelle was arrested last night on charges that include possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, first offense, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Kohler was released from the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a promise to appear in court. And 45-year-old Luke Johnson of Creston was arrested at his home Wednesday evening. Johnson was taken into custody on a Union County warrant for harassment of the third degree. He was also released on a promise to appear in court. And an Iowa native was one of three Marines who prevented a potentially dangerous situation from escalating on an international flight early Monday morning. Captain Daniel Kult, a 2011 Coon Rapids Baird graduate, was on a flight from Japan to Texas when he became aware of the disturbance.
So I was actually like half asleep, watching the movie, had my headphones in, started hearing some kind of like commotion and yelling. So it took me kind of a moment to kind of realize what was going on. Took my headphones out. And then that's when I heard definitely that there was someone like screaming from one of the bathrooms in the middle of the plane.
According to Kult, the shouts from the passenger were clearly threatening, and he joined two other Marines to assist the flight crew however they could.
We positioned ourselves by the door. I stepped in front of the path between the bathroom door and the emergency exits. The flight attendant finally, he popped the door open, and then that's when I jumped in, grabbed the dude, pulled him out, and the other two Marines grabbed him as well, and then we took him to the ground face down, put his hands behind his back, held him down so the flight attendant could use like some zip tie handcuffs that the crew had on him, got him up, and then put him in a chair.
Once the man was subdued in a seat, Kult says he and the other two Marines kept watch as the flight was diverted to Los Angeles.
When it was off and on, he'd have some outbursts here and there. And there's a couple other times we had to work on re-restraining him because he slipped out of the duct tape that we used on his legs just because he was getting sweaty and moving his legs around. So he was still pretty active throughout the hour or so it took to land in L.A. and get the authorities on board.
The passenger was taken into custody not long after landing and brought to a hospital for a mental health evaluation. The plane then took off for the flight's original destination, the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport. Kult is now back on base at Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, but on a 14-day quarantine following international travel. Officials of the Iowa National Guard said Wednesday that as part of the U.S. Army's ongoing operational requirements, several Iowa National Guard units will deploy overseas in the coming months. About 330 soldiers from the 1st Battalion, 194th Field Artillery, 2nd Infantry Brigade Combat Team will deploy in support of Operation Freedom's Sentinel to the U.S. Central Command Area of Responsibility. CENTCOM is comprised of about 20 nations in the Middle East, North Africa, and Central Asia, including Afghanistan, Iraq, and other countries. The 194th Field Artillery is comprised of units in Iowa and Minnesota. The deploying Iowa National Guard soldiers will depart from armories in Spencer, Estherville, Charles City, Fort Dodge, and Johnston. About 70 Minnesota Army National Guard soldiers assigned to Battery C, 1st Battalion, 194th Field Artillery, will deploy from Alexandria, Minnesota. Their deployments are expected to occur toward the end of July. An additional 400 Iowa National Guard soldiers received mobilization orders to support NATO's ongoing Kosovo Force Mission, or KFOR, in the Republic of Kosovo. Iowa units identified to support that mission include the Headquarters 1st Squadron, 113th Cavalry Regiment out of Sioux City, Bravo Troop, 1st Squadron, 113th Cav from Johnston, Headquarters 2nd Brigade Combat Team out of Boone, Company D from 224th Brigade Engineer Battalion out of Johnston, the 334th Brigade Support Battalion out of Cedar Rapids, and the 135th Mobile Public Affairs Detachment in Johnston. Officials say this is the Iowa National Guard's largest mobilization in support of KFOR since it first mobilized units there in 2004. Most of these units have mobilized previously in support of overseas contingency operations, including deployments to Afghanistan, Iraq, and Kosovo. Well, on Wednesday, Governor Reynolds issued a new proclamation opening campgrounds in the state of Iowa. That's effective tomorrow. The Iowa DNR will open state campgrounds at around 8 a.m. on Friday to campers with self-contained restrooms only. Self-contained is defined as a tent or pop-up camper with a portable toilet or an RV with a functioning self-contained bathroom. Walk-in campers may begin registering at 8 a.m. Friday. On Friday, May the 8th through Sunday, May the 10th, walk-in only, first-come, first-served basis at the parks. On Monday, May 11th, reservations will go into effect. The DNR's campground reservation system will begin accepting reservations beginning Friday at 9 a.m. All other reservations will continue to be as reserved beginning May 15th, unless otherwise notified directly by the DNR. And the DNR says they issued an apology to those who had reservations scheduled during the May 8th through May 14th time period. Those reservations will not be honored because refunds have already been issued and the transactions are complete. Elsewhere in area news, two people were injured during a collision Tuesday morning in Mills County. The sheriff's office reports 32-year-old Bethany Sheffield of Ocala, Florida, suffered possible injury and was transported by Glenwood Rescue to Jenny Edmondson Hospital. The other driver, 21-year-old Rerigan Whitehill of Webster City, suffered unknown possible injuries and was transported by personal vehicle. The accident happened as both vehicles were traveling east on Highway 34 at around 7:40 a.m. One of the vehicles began to slow. The other vehicle ran into the rear of her. Sheffield told deputies the sun was in her eyes, and she didn't see Whitehill's Ford making the turn onto Kidd Road. And once the impact was completed, the Ford hit Sheffield's Ford hit the caused it to enter the southeast ditch, and Sheffield's vehicle came to rest on the shoulder of the road. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.